Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. So we began the show talking about the New England Patriots' big win last night over the LA Rams, their sixth Super Bowl victory. But the Super Bowl, of course, is often much more than a football game. It's a cultural moment. From wardrobe malfunctions to the television ads to the halftime show, it can offer a powerful platform to make a statement. Here's a moment, for example, from the iconic Apple ad from 1984, which evoked Orwell's dystopic world and a hammer-hurling woman blowing up the system.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
And what about all those memorable halftime shows? Great performers from Paul McCartney to Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, Beyoncé, and Prince.
Only wanna see you. Can I play this guitar?
There's Prince performing there in 2007. It was brilliant, edgy as ever. But if there was any statement last night, from the music to the ads to the tributes, it might have been, well, kind of like how to play it safe. Maybe that's not surprising given the controversies facing the NFL, from national anthem protests to concussions to domestic violence. But it raises the question, is the Super Bowl losing its touch? Or losing touch. We know that ratings were down, for example. Listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Do you think the Super Bowl is still as big of a cultural moment as it once was? Or has it been watered down? What did you make of last night's halftime show with Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy? What about the ads? What stood out? What did you miss? And maybe it's okay, by the way, that it's just a football game. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. And joining us now to discuss some of this is John Carroll. He's WBUR senior news analyst. John, good to have you in.
Good to be here.
And joining us by phone from the Boston Globe is Globe columnist Renee Graham. Renee, always great to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Anthony.
So let's start with some music. Here's Gladys Knight, who kicked it off last night singing the national anthem. Let's listen to a bit of her.
And the whole
All right, Gladys Knight singing Home of the Brave there. She said a few weeks ago she wanted to give the anthem back its voice. Renee, that was seen as a bit of a jab at Colin Kaepernick for his anthem protests. Did she deliver on that promise? What did you hear there?
I think she did an absolutely remarkable rendition of the national anthem. It was very much her own. You know, she didn't try to make it sound like Whitney Houston. She didn't try to make it sound like anyone else but Gladys Knight. Her voice is still in extraordinary shape, and I just think she absolutely nailed it last night.
All right. I want to talk as well about the halftime show. A lot of African-American artists turned down invitations to perform in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick's protests. In the end, it featured Maroon 5, Big Boy, and Travis Scott. So here's a bit of Maroon 5, which headlined the show. They're all jumping around in the control room. Renee, I'll come back to you as well, because the last time I talked music with you, we were talking about Prince, a long way from Prince. What did you think of Maroon 5?
You know, they didn't take a knee, but they certainly flopped, I thought, last night. You know, Maroon 5 is what you end up with when everyone else on earth says no.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. You know, all these other artists like Cardi B and Rihanna, who wanted nothing to do with the halftime show out of solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. And Maroon 5 stepped up, and they made a point during the week in the lead-up to the Super Bowl of saying, you know, wait and see what we're going to do. You know, we'll respond. And the response was about what I expected, which was pretty much nothing politically or musically.
Yeah. John, what did you think of the music?
I thought it was pretty vanilla, and I thought it was pretty disappointing. Somebody tweeted out, every year they should rerun Prince's halftime show, which is probably not a bad idea. It's no accident that Maroon 5 canceled their press conference during the week, because this was just a hot potato that that was not going to turn out well, it didn't seem, whatever they did. So I think they were in a no-win situation, and they lost.
So some folks expected for there to be some kind of statement made during halftime. Some called for the performers to take a knee. John, I'll start with you. Did you expect something like that to happen? Surprised at all that it didn't?
I think if it happened, they wouldn't have shown it. yes. You know, basically, this was as tightly controlled as it could possibly be, and as tightly choreographed. And I think that CBS is allergic to any kind of controversy, any kind of risk. And so it just, you weren't going to see that.
Yeah. So, Renee, is it disappointing? I mean, are we missing something? Because we talked about all those great performances down through the years. I mean, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Beyonce, Madonna. I mean, it just... John called it vanilla last night. Are we losing something? I mean, has the Super Bowl sort of given up on those kinds of edgy performances?
You know, I mean, you have to remember it wasn't that many years ago. I think it was only about 3 years ago that, you know, Beyonce delivered a halftime show so black, I've called it a Juneteenth picnic in Wakanda. You know, and how do you go from that to what we saw last night? And it is. I think it's what John said. I think that, you know, CBS and the NFL absolutely wanted to play this safe, and they kept everyone on a very short leash last night. If anyone had taken a knee, if anyone had come out in a Kaepernick jersey, that camera would have panned away so quickly our heads would have spun. They weren't taking any chances. But in doing that, they delivered this unmemorable, forgettable, bland halftime show, and people have come to expect a lot more of the halftime show.
Yeah, I think it was a missed opportunity. Let's take some calls. 1-800-423-8255. We're talking about last night's halftime show. We're going to talk about the ads in a bit. What did you see? What did you miss? Let's go to Suzanne, who's calling from Cambridge. Suzanne, good to have you. Thanks for being on the air.
Thank you for having this topic on. I was really outraged about the Super Bowl last night. I actually didn't watch it, and I just can't believe that your commenters are saying things like "play it safe" when what you're talking about is Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, meaning putting one foot on the ground during the national anthem, not during the game, not being disruptive, not being violent, and he was doing it to bring attention to the fact that Americans were being killed, are being killed by the police. And the fact that he couldn't do that, had to become a free agent and lost his career, is just, it's outrageous to me. And that the only people that protested were African-American musicians, and that white musicians aren't standing up and saying, we wouldn't do this. That the movement was so small, just it surprised me and it disappointed me that not more people are outraged about what happened.
Well, Suzanne, thanks so much. We hear your passion. I appreciate the comment. John, what do you think?
I think this is a difficult situation because Colin Kaepernick has been so politicized and distorted in many ways. You know, what he set out to protest was racial injustice and police overreaction to especially to black people. That got lost in the politics of Donald Trump, in the politics of the military. All of a sudden, he wasn't supporting the military. That had nothing to do with it ever. So I think we're in the third generation of Colin Kaepernick, and I think it's pretty far from where it started, and it makes it more difficult to keep focus.
Mm, interesting. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Newton. Bill, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. My point is that it was sad because the audience is so massive and so across the board, we could have really taken advantage of that time in this very segregated time. We could have been a unifying force. Even somebody, and sadly he's not available, Michael Jackson, somebody who kind of crosses the line. My son, who's a Northeastern student at 20, said to me, "Dad," and he's very non-judgmental, he said, "Maroon 5, Dad? It's been a long time. What is that?" And vanilla certainly is an appropriate assessment of the situation, but they really could have broken the mold and done something really dramatic as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's nice to see the Blue Angels and all of that, but we have to bring it up to 2019 standards, I think, or needs.
All right, Bill, I appreciate that. Renee, do you agree with Bill, and do you think it's realistic to expect or even hope that the NFL would go for something like that?
Look, I think it is a missed opportunity for the NFL, but this is the way the NFL operates, especially under Roger Goodell. They're not trying to court controversy. They're not trying to do anything that's going to alienate middle America. They're going to play it very safe, and that's exactly what the NFL did. You know, I think it would have been wonderful if they had embraced, you know, the feelings about this, these things in different ways. But you know how the NFL, they try to have it both ways. You know, on one hand, they don't want people talking about Colin Kaepernick. They certainly don't want people talking about racial injustice and police brutality. But then they're going to exploit Martin Luther King as much as they possibly can to show that they have a social conscience. So this is the NFL trying to have it both ways, but they only want to do it in a way that they can control and not leave that up to the artists who are performing at halftime.
And Renee, when you talk about exploiting Martin Luther King, you're talking about the sort of acknowledgement they made at the beginning of the evening. We talked about that early in the hour with Shira Springer. You're saying it's sort of a kind of meaningless, I mean, they're not putting their mouths where their symbolism is, I guess.
Well, no. I mean, look, you know, carting out, you know, black and white archival footage of Martin Luther King and listening to his speeches, it's great, right? But do they actually adhere to what King was talking about in their actions? And I would say no, they don't. You know, because if they had, and if the owners backed these sorts of things, Colin Kaepernick would have a job and he wouldn't be penalized for talking about racism in this country.
So I want to talk a little bit about the ad. So let's listen to one ad. Here's a Pepsi ad with Steve Carell, Cardi B, and Lil Jon was in the ad as well. Let's listen.
I'll take a Coke.
Is Pepsi okay?
Is Pepsi okay? Is Pepsi okay? Pepsi's more than okay. It's okay!
Okay! Okay, so John, sort of funny, certainly not very edgy. Not a whole lot sort of stood out to me last night from the ad world. What did you hear, and what about that ad?
Well, there was a lot of rappers and robots, that seemed to be the go-to motif for a whole lot of ad agencies and brands. Everybody seemed to want to play it safe. It was really, in many ways, a reflection of the same attitude as the halftime show. This was a high-powered celebrity spot that really didn't do much of anything.
Right.
And it's interesting that Pepsi was a sponsor and Coke was not in Atlanta, the home of Coca-Cola. But I think there are a lot of brands who are reassessing the value of Super Bowl ads.
And why is that?
Well, because I think that it's a much more complicated world than it was before. Years ago, basically, you plunked down your millions of dollars, you ran your ad, and then you looked at the USA Today ad meter ratings to see how well you did. Now, you're on multiple screens, you're on multiple platforms, people are tweeting in real time. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of Twitter activity around the ads last night. And so it becomes just a little more fraught than it was before.
So there was one spot that was a little edgy. The Washington Post used Tom Hanks to pay tribute to slain journalists and talk about the importance of a free press. Here's a little of that.
When our nation is threatened, there's someone to gather the facts, to bring you the story, no matter the cost. Because knowing empowers us. Knowing helps us decide. Knowing keeps us free.
John, some of the power of that spot, of course, is it included pictures of slain journalists along the way and missing journalists. But that seemed to really stand out as almost an exception yesterday evening.
That was as close to a political ad as we saw last night. Mm-hmm. And it engendered the usual left-right mishigas on Twitter. But there was also a little bit of backlash. So Sarah Kaplan, a Washington Post reporter, tweeted out, "I'm really proud to work at a newspaper newspaper that does this vital work, but maybe the next $10 million could go toward better health benefits, parental leave, equal pay, and more jobs for reporters.
Wow.
Right. So, you know, this was something where people were questioning the investment that that the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos made by extension. Mm-hmm. And she's got a legitimate point. The Washington Post reporters do not have as good a deal as, say, the New York Times. And so this is something that came up a couple of times, the number of reporters you could have hired for $10 million.
Renee, I want to ask you about the ads. I mean, for a long time, I think we've sort of looked forward to the Super Bowl beyond the halftime show as, you know, what are these ads going to tell us about sort of the world we live in? Do you still look for that? Were you disappointed last night? What did you see?
You know, I think the ads for a long time were known for being funny, for being heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the last night's ads might have been a little over the map. You had the Washington Post ad, which I think certainly by far and away was the best ad of the night, because it was really about something. It had an agenda, and it wanted to talk to people about very serious issues and about people who lose their lives in the service of journalism and informing the public. And I thought that was a very important ad. You know, but you always get this need to sort of make people feel better about themselves and to empower. And I thought that's what the Bumble ad with Serena Williams attempted to do.
And I wish we had time to play that, but very quickly, that talked about sort of female empowerment, essentially, in a big way, right?
You know, female empowerment, the idea that, you know, don't listen to people tell you to wait your turn.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to wait your turn. You already have power. Use your power. Which, again, it's interesting for the NFL, you know, given all the issues around domestic violence and women, that the NFL would be, of course, you know, wanting that ad on its big night, but there you go.
All right. Boston Globe columnist Renee Graham. Thank you, Renee. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Anthony.
And John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst. He also blogs at It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony. And that was really Andy Warhol.
All right. That's it for today. Join us again for more Radio Boston tomorrow.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.